Welcome to the Cheer Bomb Podcast with Marisol and Marcus. We are strong, we are powerful, we are disciplined, we are cheerleaders.
Hello. Hello, Marcus.
Hi, Marisol.
Hi, this is Marisol and Marcus, and this is our first podcast.
Welcome.
Are you nervous? You're nervous.
A little bit.
You've never done a podcast before?
No, never.
Have you listened to podcasts before?
Yes, I have. Oh. I enjoy listening to people talk, other people's conversations. So, like, I've never thought that this would be.
And look at you. You have a podcast now.
Look at that.
I have some podcasting background. Yes. I started podcasting about 3 years ago, and it started out as a hobby. And it quickly evolved into me producing some content for people. I never thought I would ever have a cheerleading podcast. It was never something I sat and thought about. But when it happened, when that idea came and we started talking about it, it was like instantly like, oh, everything I've done has led up to this moment.
And I've been doing this for that long. I feel like, why haven't I done this until now?
So let's tell our audience who we are, what this cheerleading podcast is about, or what Cheer Bomb is about, because it's a thing. It's a brand.
Yeah, it is. Something we're very proud of.
Well, let's start with you. Your name is Marcus.
Yes.
And you are a cheerleader.
Yes. Well, I'm a retired cheerleader now. I coach. I started cheering when I was about 12. I'm not going to tell you my age now. But I've always loved to perform. I thought I was going to become a dancer.
Oh, I can see that.
I love to dance. I love to perform. But now I get paid to make up my own dances. And I don't know. I guess people like it.
What age does one retire from cheerleading? If they retire. I mean, I'm sure it varies, but.
Out of all stars, 19.
So like, that's
the oldest that you can really be. Okay. But there are like international divisions where you can cheer until like you literally cannot anymore.
Really? I was watching I watched a minute of it, of a Netflix show. I'll get the name of it. But I immediately started writing down the names of the cheerleaders on the show because I was like, I want that one on the podcast. I want that one on the podcast. I am not a cheerleader. I have never cheered. I have no background in it. I do have a background in dance. We share that. I was very lucky to study ballet when I was young, and I sensed some parallels in the world.
Absolutely.
Dancing didn't have competitions back in that day, as far as I remember. I am going to date myself. I'm 44. But the discipline of it, the giving up of your time and your body and your, you know, that.
It's a huge commitment.
Absolutely. Huge commitment. But I came into the world of cheerleading a few years ago because of my youngest daughter. When I walked into the world of cheerleading, I'm going to be very honest, I had preconceived notions, and some of them were accurate, and many, many weren't. I was blown away by the sport because of my daughter. I have to give a little story so you can sense where my love for cheerleading comes from. So my youngest, the cheerleader, Lola, she wants to be mentioned as often as possible. she was not a fan of school since the moment she started, it was kindergarten. And kindergarten was like half a day. It wasn't even a full day of kindergarten. And you know, she was basically born with just this natural level of energy that if I could bottle it up, sell it, would we be billionaires? She just has all this energy. Unfortunately, that level of energy doesn't seem to serve her well in our educational system. So she was it was about, I think, third or fourth, it must have been third grade. She had to go to summer school for like the second year in a row. And she was just not happy. She was doing everything. She was doing dance and.
The second year in a row?
Yeah. She's always had to go to, because of her level of energy, she has dyslexia, she has some learning processing. I mean, you've met her. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know this if you met her. It's not like, it's obvious, but traditional school, an 8-hour day sitting is just, the circle of
impossible.
Hell.
Yeah. Impossible.
And so she had been asking us about doing competitive cheerleading, and both, I think her father and I are divorced, but both of us just, we had never done travel with our children. She's the youngest of three. And we never thought that doing a travel sport was it fit our life, because what would we do with the other children? Mm-hmm. It just didn't fit. But she had such a hard time, and by this point, my ex-husband and I are divorced, and we kind of had a conversation like, can we make this happen? Is this something, because we're divorced, that both of us can split the, the travel and so on, and still spend time with the other children and make it happen. And we both came together and said yes. And it ended up being, you met Lola when she first started, a huge blessing. I mean, she went from this little girl who didn't have an anchor of where to express all this energy.
Mm-hmm. And now she has an entire gym to jump around.
I mean, she's there all the time.
Yeah.
She's on two teams. And she loves it. Like when I say she loves it, we joked about the intro, the mm-hmm. cheer music. Like she knows cheer music from teams from all over this country. she will name people, these people who are not famous outside of the world of cheerleading. She knows everything about them.
Follows their animals on
Instagram,
on social media.
She's in. She is all in on cheerleading. She has brands and she loves it. So when we started down this path of cheerleading, it was a big moment for me because I was like, you know what? How can I make this awesome for me? And what I found is the time I have with her on those drives to competitions, that's my time with her. Mm-hmm. Like, we talk, we talk, we fight, the whole gambit, but that's my weekend with her. And I get to see her express herself and just love the sport. It's done so much for her that I have a love for the sport because of what it's done for her. Does it mean that it's a perfect sport? No, nothing's perfect. But even in those things, in the things that, we'll talk about, I'm sure in this podcast and many podcasts over the season, even those things that are stereotypically not great about the sport of competitive cheerleading are opportunities. I call them, you might be too young for this. Do you remember after school specials?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. For the younger people in our audience, let me explain. Back in the day, a long, long time ago.
Before cellular devices.
Yeah. Look over to your mom or your dad. They can help you with this. Before streaming and Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, we had four channels. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not using this for hyperbole. Legit four channels. And so it's a regular programming. And sometimes, if you were lucky enough and all the stars aligned, they would have these after-school specials, which would be like a drama. But it would be kind of like a real-life problem, like, the drug overdose or the teen pregnancy or the, but then it would end, the after-school special would end with this, like, bow moment, like a perfect bow. Like mm-hmm. they talk to the coach or the mom or the dad and have this real in-depth conversation. And then everything is, great.
Perfect again.
Yeah. And so those moments in cheerleading that have not been great, when my daughter has come home upset or we fought or, whatever, she didn't get a spot on the team she mm-hmm. wanted or she didn't hit her stunt. Am I using that correctly? You're going to have to correct my terminology.
Absolutely. I'm here for it.
All those moments have turned into opportunities for these moments with her where it's like an after school special. Like, I remember one specifically she had, this is, I want to say, the second year cheerleader. It might have been the first. I don't remember exactly, but she was so upset. It had to do with, I think one of those apps, I want to say Musical.ly or something. Okay. There was like some not nice comments that had occurred, and she was just not feeling it. She was very unhappy. And I remember us stopping at this ice cream place and sitting there, and she was just, it was angry and sadness, a mix in. And I just listened to her. I just listened to her, like, you know, express, let it out, and then was able to give her advice over, you know, it was an opportunity to have a great conversation with her that was greater than whatever the issue was that she was having at that moment in cheerleading, you know, like,
yeah.
And so cheerleading has given us those opportunities many a time.
Question.
Yes.
Were those comments from people we knew or like randoms?
That was people she knew. Those people she knew at the time. You know, I mean,
kids are vicious, aren't they?
And this is not a cheerleading thing, but it is going to be a gender thing. Girls, I have two girls. One in cheerleading.
Worse.
Yeah,
they're one, vicious.
It's not a cheerleading specific thing. Something happens around third and fourth grade. Before third and fourth grade, everyone gets along. Mm-hmm. Everyone's holding hands and, you know, kumbaya. Everyone's friends. And something happens around third and fourth grade where girls become mean. And I'm saying a blanket statement. I know there are some moms in the car. I'm like, no, my baby's not mean. If you're a girl, we've all had the capacity of being mean. Mm-hmm. And some of us have that capacity. It's a talent. It's a superpower. It's different than boys because I have a son too. And you know, boys will fight with each other, wrestle, get over, and then they're fine.
Yeah.
Girls, it's like psychological warfare. I mean, I've seen both my daughters on, you know, very similar things have happened in their lives, which in many friends who have daughters, we've always kind of communicated the same thing. It's like, I don't know, exclusion better than – I have a theory. My theory is I think the competition comes in socially. I think socially that's when, you know, we kind of realize we like boys maybe a little bit and we start getting competitive with each other because that's where I think we're socially competitive. But my other theory is I think a human need is to feel significant. We all want to be seen. We all want to be – and a very basic way to feel significant is to put other people down, to put them down to lift yourself up. And I think we all might start that way. The people – the women that evolve, the girls that evolve into – are the ones that evolve past that, who know that they don't have to put the other girl down, the other woman down, to be better or more popular or more liked. In fact, I think cheerleading is a wonderful metaphor for it. We're greater together.
Absolutely.
If women support each other, girls support each other. But, you know, we're not going to solve that on this podcast.
There's time.
I'm sure we'll talk about it because we have a segment of the podcast. I'm excited about the Dear Marisol Marcus letter.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that and give advice to cheerleaders. But that's what our podcast is about. We want to connect with cheerleaders. Many of you are on your way to a competition right now, and we wanted to talk to both moms. I should say dads too, because I know there's a lot of dads there. Parents. But I'm a woman, so I'm going to keep saying mom.
I'll say parents.
You correct me. So we just wanted to give you guys a podcast that you both could listen to and you both could have, you know, maybe some enjoyment fun. I want it to be fun.
And funny.
And funny. And I also want it to have depth. Because I think that's the thing. That's the surprising thing about cheerleading or cheerleaders. I think there's a misconception that they're not athletes, that they're not bright necessarily. And the reality is they're super smart, super disciplined, like athletes, police.
Police. I think I can honestly say I wouldn't be the person that I, the awesome person that I am today without
cheerleading.
Without cheerleading. Yeah. Before I cheered, I feel like I was crazy quiet, super shy. My sense of humor, I had none.
Like
my coaches, my teammates, just people that like I've come in contact with, like going through competitions, the friends that I've made, made me this person. And I'm so excited. I love it. You don't understand how much I love cheerleading.
Well, I kind of do. That's why we're partners. I love it too. I love it for my daughter. I love the environment. Well, when I say I love it, I also am not in the world 100%. Mm. Sort of like I don't listen to your music for pleasure.
Why not? What?
So we have that that wonderful intro that you guys heard, and we had a professional, our producer basically produced it for us. And, you know, if you're not in the world of cheerleading, you have to explain to someone what cheer music is. And I know this producer guy, and I've listened, he's also a musician, so I've listened to a lot of his music. Excuse me. He's wonderful. But I wanted to warn him. I was like, I was like, you're going to want to stick a knife in your eyes. Like, sorry. So he and I are going back, and you and I are in the same email. So we're seeing the commentary going back and forth, and he and I are kind of like this in cheer music. And I wanted to like say to you, I appreciate how much you love it. I appreciate how much my daughter loves it. I have made peace with it. Like I'll go into the, you know, competitions and I'm great when I'm in there and I move and, you know, when I hear some, you know, New Kids on the Block, I get really excited. Oh, yeah. There's aspects of it I love. I can't sit there for 8 hours and do it. Like I'm the mom outside.
Oh, really? Oh, no. I'm the one that like, I'm on the treadmill, like listening to Senior Elite 2008. And just like remembering the routine. Yes, I do remember that routine. And just marking it full out, just going crazy with it. And I know people are just like staring at me like, this fool, what? I want to know what he's listening to.
That's
like, come on, you can share my earbud.
That's awesome. We can do this. Well, like my daughter will listen, especially when she has her friends over, cheerleader friends, they'll listen to it and they'll start singing songs. And I'm like, wait, that's not your... You know, that's not from our gym. And they'll be like, no, that's so-and-so's routine from this year. I'm like.
And this is what they do at this time.
I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was me and my best friends when I was growing up. That's all we did. If I would get in the car with my best friend, Megan, that's the first thing that we would do. Cheerleading or probably the Rent soundtrack.
Well, that's awesome. I love Rent. I just got tickets for my older daughter to go see it for Christmas.
I'm so excited.
Yes.
The one that's playing in Wilmington? Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
I'm going to see Hamilton next month.
Where?
New York.
I hate you so much. What? So I need you to record that for me.
Yes. It's my my twins are turning 16. They both love the Hamilton soundtrack. I love Broadway. You and I share this passion too.
I love Broadway.
Love it. And it's their sweet 16 present.
Awesome.
They both love it. And I'm so excited. But I get going back to cheer music. So we have the intro, which is a, you know, ode to cheer.
Do you know how excited I was when I heard my name in cheerleading music? That's never happened before. I've never done an individual. But I was so excited.
Well, I was... I decided that we should on the outro, which outro. Is the music going out. I'm going to pick music that's not cheer to take us out.
To take us out. I'm so excited. Ooh, Marisol, pick up the week.
So our company started because you and I, you, like I said, you were my daughter's coach, one of our coaches. And I aside from producing podcasts, I'm a writer. And so I, you know, just that little story I was telling you about Lowland School, wrote some books about, some children's books.
Yes, ma'am.
And the setting is set in cheerleading. And I needed a consultant to help me with any of the lingo that's cheer lingo because something happened when I turned 40. When I turned 40, my mind said, you're done receiving new information. We'll work with the information that you have now and we'll get it working for you, but we're not receiving new data. So when my daughter started cheering, we'll discuss this, and I'm like, what's this stunt double? I'm the mom that will watch the whole competition or watch, you know, and unless there's an obvious fall, I'm thinking everyone was awesome. I'm like, yes! And I'll look over and the moms that know, they'll be like looking at their iPad. Oh no, we lost it. Here's a deduction point. And I'm like, when did that happen? I didn't see it. And I'm always going to, I think, you know, that's why we balance each other out so well, because you'll bring the authority to
this. Yes.
But I don't have the lingo, which is much to my daughter's chagrin. And she has another team mom, or not team mom, a mom from the gym who, when I frustrate her with my lack of knowledge, will contact.
Really?
Yes. And I'm okay with it. I've outsourced it happily because I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what she's talking about. That's how we started working on this book. And the book is currently at the publishers, and I think it's going to be out in 2018. Actually, the two, I don't know if I've told you that, two of them will be out.
This year?
Oh, it is 2018.
It is.
It's January. Yes, it'll be out this year. I don't have a launch date because it's outside of my hands at this point.
But that's so exciting.
I
was so honored to be even thought of for that.
Oh, thank you.
I was so excited.
But we started working together. We were having some meetings, and we quickly grew into a company. Cheerbomb. Cut to the chase. We started a company. We're like, we wanted to have a brand, and it evolved. It's too long of a story if we go from beginning to end, but it's evolved into a digital brand.
Yes.
The podcast is a digital format. In a few weeks, we're going to have stickers. I don't know if I'm confused on if we can use the word emojis or not, because I think that's an Apple.
Is it? Okay.
Technology, like it's called an emoji if it's on the Apple keyboard, and that's Apple. But if it's a sticker, it's just like it's cheerleader stickers, emojis.
Yes.
And that came from, you know,
Emoji-like
stickers. You could check out the samples of them on our Instagram. And that was bred from, you know, my daughter just, you know, was always frustrated that there weren't any cheerleading emojis. Or she gets really frustrated with pom-poms or the megaphone or, you know,
That is not all-star cheerleading.
Yeah, that's not all-star cheerleading.
That is high school. It's completely different.
So our first product is those emoji stickers. And that evolved into the podcast because I do podcasting on the side, and we were like, oh, but hold on.
What is the one thing that, as cheerleaders, other than cheerleaders, have in common? We're always traveling. We're always going somewhere. So
yeah. And then I thought the combination of the mom and the cheerleader is good. And I know that there's dads out there and dads.
Parents.
Love you. But we're commuting too. We're driving. We're paying.
And I guess not every parent wants to listen to cheerleading music from the ride Wilmington to Raleigh. So.
For more than 15 seconds. But we thought we'd give them some content that they could both you know, enjoy if you like it, if you like the show. And through the connections and through the cheerleading community, which just genuinely seems like very nice people, I think we've lined up a great set of guests for a season. And I think the way the show will evolve will be a companion to the All-Star cheerleading season. We started a little later in this season, but hey, we just started the company.
So I feel like we're doing pretty good.
About 30 days ago. We're doing awesome. We're doing awesome. So our content, besides the digital products that we have out for everyone, one of our intentions grew from, again, you know, Lola's going to be an inspiration for me and on my part, is, you know, she's 11 going on 12. Is
35.
I've had to monitor, as you know, as a parent, we should, her social media. And we were talking about this off mic, how we didn't have this. We didn't have this growing up. We did not have Snapchat. We did not have Instagram. No. We did not have. And as parents, I think we all just try the best we can. We all. And I'm as guilty as anyone of saying, here's a phone, probably way younger than you should have one. But everyone else your age has one, and it gives me a second to, you know, it just seems like the world changed and we're doing the best we can. So I was trying to monitor her Instagram, and I was doing that for my other children as well. And I noticed that the social media of cheerleading, of All-Star cheerleading, is completely different than the Instagram of a non-cheerleader, teenager, preteen.
Oh, yeah.
Just two different.
Two different worlds. I believe that.
Two different streams.
Yes.
And so what I was noticing as a mom was, you know, a lot of cheerleading. Awesome. A lot of promotion of products and ambassadorships. Awesome. But I felt like there was an opportunity for something else, another dialogue, another thing to bring into the cheerleading world, which brought us to our cheerleading challenges.
Yes.
Or not cheer bomb.
Cheer bomb challenges.
Cheer bomb challenges. Because I was really intent on, like, you know, we needed an Instagram for our company, obviously, but what was going to be the content?
Yes.
And, you know, everything for me personally revolves around, you know, just positivity and gratitude and just, how can today be better than yesterday? Not always the case, but that's kind of the goal, you know. So our first challenge, before we started podcasting, we picked our winner. Our first challenge was a gratitude challenge. We asked our followers and cheerleaders out there to tag us for things or people that they were thankful for. And it could be anyone. It could be a coach. It could be a parent. We had parents, we had aunts, we had other team members. You know, we just wanted to spread some good vibes out there. Just say thank you. There's so many opportunities in the world of cheerleading, of competitive cheerleading, to say thank you. You can say thank you to your parent who's driving you right now. You can say thank you to your coaches who probably didn't want to deal with your attitude last Thursday. You could say thank you to the sweet lady who cleans up the gym after all of you are done. There's opportunities to say thank you.
Absolutely.
All up and down this industry. So I think that you'll see the gratitude challenge often. I think it's twice on the
record. I think it was a beautiful way to start the new year. We started this on the first of the year and ran for 20 days. And we got so many contestants in that, and I just felt so grateful.
Yeah. I just love anything that spreads good vibes, good energy, you know, it gave us an anchor on what we wanted to post on our stuff. So that is our cheer bomb company. And so one of the things we're doing is this podcast, and we are so freaking excited. I'm really excited. We have lined up some when we when the idea came, like, why don't we have a podcast? Like, I have all the equipment. Like, I have the producer. We could do this. You know, why aren't we doing this? And then we thought about guests and we started again. The community is just pretty awesome. Everyone, you know, a lot of people are like, I don't know what a podcast is. There's a hesitation, but I think after we start grooving, we're going to just have some awesome people to talk about cheerleading, the good, the bad,
and the ugly.
So thank you for listening to us today, and make sure to go to any of your Apple or Android stores, download our podcast, subscribe, rate and review.
Yes. Go to our Instagram
official.
At Official Cheer Bomb. Like us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Official Cheer Bomb.
And follow us on Snapchat if you want behind the scenes of what it's like to put a brand together.
Yeah.
And that takes us into our next segment, Marcus.
Yes.
I'm excited about the segment. So we want Cheer Bomb to be a place where girls and boys, cheerleaders, and parents can come and we can just have a discussion, have a conversation.
Yes.
So we reached out to the, I don't know, universe and asked for any questions, anything that, and it sort of evolved into an advice column.
Yes.
Now, do you feel weird giving advice?
Do I feel weird giving advice? Not if I have advice to give.
Oh, ooh, that was good.
Yeah.
See, you're natural. That was good. That is excellent advice. That was excellent. I'm not. I have absolutely no qualms about giving advice at all. In the sense that I'm 44. I've had an extraordinary life. And I have so much to pull from.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't empathize with a situation, I can try really hard to try to see a perspective that I'm not, that might not be obvious to me. So with that, do you want to read our first dear?
I would love to.
Is it Marcus and Marisol or Marisol and Marcus? What sounds more natural? Let's just get it out there.
I'm just going to say before we started, it seemed like it rolled off the tongue more, Marcus and Marisol, but ladies first always.
Okay.
So
it does seem to roll off the tongue, Marcus and Marisol. And I'm all about equal opportunity and kind of, you know, branching out our, I feel okay with you going.
Okay.
So let's say dear Marcus, our first dear Marcus and Marisol, official cheer bomb column.
Dear at official cheer bomb, I love cheerleading. I've been cheering for 6 years. This year is a little different. I'm not sure if I like the routine, and I don't think the team mom likes me, and the season's just starting. Signed, thinking of quitting from Atlanta, Georgia.
Thinking of quitting?
That sounds so...
All right, wait, let me take notes here. What were her three, I heard she doesn't like the routine?
Yes.
She
doesn't think the team mom likes her.
And then what was the third part?
And she's thinking of quitting. He or she, I'm not sure if this is a...
I think it's a she from the email. Yeah, we're doing this anonymously. We don't want to. So, it's a she.
Okay. And she's thinking of quitting. Oof. That's a big step. Oh, my goodness.
Do you want to go first? Or
I am 100% a believer in fulfilling your commitment?
Mm-hmm. Honoring your commitment.
Honoring your commitment. I'm sorry. I don't think quitting is ever an answer.
Well, as a mom, I mean, when you were reading this and when it first came through, I said to you off mic, I was like, I know that that wouldn't be an option in our world. Like, my daughter knows, because I don't know how it is in every single gym. I think this is a norm that you can't just quit because you have a whole team depending on you. Mm-hmm. So there is a penalty, a financial penalty.
Absolutely.
Which I think is the right of, you know, I'm not complaining about it or anything. I can understand why. I would be upset if after all the time and commitment and money I've spent, someone quit, you know, and affected the whole team. So I get it. So to me, that's kind of like a red flag of, can you quit? Like after 6 years,
is your mom going to let you,
is your mom going to let you quit, or you need to write it out? Because that's not an option in my house at this point, you know, like it would have to be an extreme circumstance to quit during season. That's my way of thinking. I would see if you could maybe walk that back as far as maybe that's your desire right now, but how can we reframe everything so that you don't want to quit and at least finish out the season?
And the season's just starting. It is way too soon.
Yeah, you have the routine. I mean, you can speak more to this. Don't routines evolve as the girls?
Absolutely. They definitely can. Minds change all the time. Like a choreographer's mind is going like 10,000 miles a minute. I'm not sure if I like the routine. I will tell you, as a coach, we have to put certain things in a 2 minute and 30 second routine. And that depends on like the skills of the cheerleader. So
I've never thought about that. I've never thought about if a cheerleader likes or doesn't like the routine. I'm sure if they like it, it probably provides a great energy.
Yes.
You know, but why she or he doesn't like it, she in this case. Could it be because you're not
before
in the, you know, I could speak to like jumps, you know, where my daughter is placed in jumps. Her jumps from where she was to where she is have improved. I'm not, but she, you know.
Yeah, they have.
They still have room to grow. But she was in the back row. And then, you know, like I know where she's positioned in a routine is important to her.
It does play a lot in a cheerleader's heart and head.
Yeah. So
I do believe that.
I can see that. So I don't know why, you know, what was her goodbye? I want to quit.
Thinking of quitting.
So I don't know why thinking of quitting doesn't like the routine. There could be, you know, a lot of reasons why. And again, I would look to that and say, like, what don't you like about it? Like, ask yourself, you know, what don't you like about it?
And if it is a personal reason, like you're not liking the spots that you've been placed in, maybe get a private or two.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about this time that Lola was upset about her tumbling skills because she kind of walked into cheerleading, I guess, a little late for average cheerleaders. She's, I want to say 9 or 10. So she was a little late.
I was a little later.
But. Yeah. But she's graced, you know, she's blessed with flexibility and she would love.
Fast learner.
Yeah, she loves the sport. So, but when she started, I didn't know this. This was one of the things. I didn't know she wasn't a good tumbler. I didn't know. Like, to me, my perspective was, oh, she kept getting a skill. Like, she was progressing. It's good. But in that world, it wasn't good. It didn't look, you know. It was her tumbling needed. And this is not just from her perspective, her teammates and other parents, you know, were like, oh, her tumbling's not.
What?
Well, no, it wasn't obvious to me at the time. It was obvious when she started getting better. It was like, oh, wow, her tumbling's gotten so much better.
Okay.
So let me, you know, I'm not trying to be ugly. I didn't realize that they weren't good to begin with, what is the point I'm trying to make. So I don't know that I can speak to what, you know, why can't I remember what's it?
Thinking of quitting
said about the routine, but I can maybe compare it to a situation where the second year that Lola was cheering, she was a flyer. And she wasn't a flyer the first year, and she's not a flyer the third year. And so when she wasn't a fire the third year, we had one of those after school kind of conversations of why do you love the sport? Like, is it just flying? Is that all you want to do? Or can you love it as a whole for what you can bring to it this year? And how are you, you know, how to reframe it from you were one of the youngest at this other team and now you're one of the oldest. you know, and she kind of took that and ran with it. Like, she became really close to her flyer. Mm-hmm. She's like, how she became, what is she? I don't even know. What is she? A bass?
Yes. She's a bass. She doesn't back spunner. Yeah. She's a bass.
Well, how are you going to make being a bass the best bass you could be this mm-hmm. year? So she kind of did that, reframed it on her own, because, you know, we had that lovely conversation. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, my advice would be, how can you reframe this in your mind? How can you make this the best? What opportunities for growth can happen?
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you're not always going to, and this could tie right into the team mom, she thinking the team mom doesn't like her. You're not going to always like your bosses.
Yes.
You're not going to always like your teachers. Mm-hmm. Not going to always like your coworkers. But we all have to learn. It's a social skill to learn to get along and make not only the best of the situation, but the best opportunities for yourself.
And be respectful about it.
Which, you know, I thought her letter was very respectful.
Yes.
The team mom not liking her, that made me laugh.
I will tell you that when I first started coaching, I was so excited to work with kids. I love kids. I love children. I forget that sometimes you have to deal with the parents. And first started coaching, I was getting emails and I was just like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure about team mom not liking me, but I do understand the whole team moms can be kind of aggressive, and yeah. But they also do have a job to fulfill.
Exactly. Well, I am not a team mom. I can probably.
Will you ever be a team mom?
I could probably promise you that I will never ever be a team mom. I used to when I was younger, my younger days, not for cheerleading, but in every other aspect. I was the great mom, you know, the great mom with the cellophane mm-hmm. running around town when my older two were younger. I'm the Girl Scout leader. I still am. I'm getting 5 girls through their Gold Award this year. So I've been that person in other roles, but in the world of cheerleading, no. And let me explain why. I'm older and I'm just, my life is a lot busier. What I will say about any team mom, regardless of what gym you're in or what part of the country you're on, they're doing that for free. Mm-hmm. That is, and it's a
full free.
And it's
actually paying to do it.
Yeah, right? And it's, I don't want to say thankless. Sorry, that's my little doggy in the background. I don't want to say it's a thankless job, because hopefully the girls are showing gratitude. Hashtag gratitude challenge. Hashtag your team mom. or tag your team mom. I'm using the wrong.
I know I'm super grateful for our team moms.
Yeah.
Because running around, when you coach like multiple teams, like running around from backstage when one team just got off the floor, when you have to like run all the way upstairs, make sure you have 22 kids ready for the warm-up room. And the team moms are there. They already have their checklist done. Hair good, makeup good, uniform on. So like, I'm super appreciative of every single team mom that I've come in contact with.
Yeah. And I'm grateful for the team moms as well. That they took on the role, that they're doing it, that they're putting together a list, that they text me with the schedule changes and so on. On the other flip side of this, you know, speaking to her letter, I could see, you know, not everyone shows up to a competition or to a job or to anything in the best frame. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
So do I think every team mom across this whole country, across all those competitions, are all behaving from a place of, you know, I don't know what happened with this team mom. I don't know what what I've learned about things like that. When you think someone doesn't like you, it feels to me, in my experience, 8 times out of 10, that's a story you've made up in your head. Like, mm-hmm. you saw a look that made you think that this person didn't like you, or you read a comment or an action to say that she doesn't like you. And it could literally be she stubbed her toe 2 seconds before she saw you, or she had didn't sleep well the night before. Mm-hmm. You, unless you ask, you don't know.
Yeah.
So my advice would be, you know, and this would be hard for young girls. It's much easier to do at 44 than it is at, you know, 12.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, did I do something wrong? You know, this is how I feel.
And you'll never know an answer until you start talking. It all starts with a conversation.
It all starts with a conversation. And usually things get better. Not always. And if it doesn't, write us back.
We would love to hear.
We would love to hear about it.
But
if you, any of these things that are not making you, or that are making you unhappy, my advice would be to sit down with them quietly with yourself and just, what can you do to make the situation better? Not what other people can do, but
what can you do?
What can you do in these three things? You know, let us know. I would love to hear.
Absolutely.
How that went. So,
but please don't quit.
Yeah.
Quitting is never an awesome solution.
And what I've seen, not in cheerleading so much, but for kids who do piano or kids who have done anything for swimming, competitive swimming, who eventually quit, you know, there's always that regret.
Always.
Always that regret. I should have stuck with it. I should have, you know. And I think one of the things I love about competitive cheerleading is it's a discipline. You don't necessarily have a future in it. You know, there's not a lot of careers that are born from mm-hmm. cheerleading, and they still do it, and they still show up every weekend, and they still compete. And I love that, because how many? There's 3 million cheerleaders, right?
Between U.S. and Canada, 3 million.
How many of them are getting a bid? I don't know the number. Google it. But however many are not getting a bid, they're still going to the gym.
Yeah.
They're still practicing. They're still giving up that sleepover.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things create character. And that's what I think any discipline like this, anything that you stick with, it ends up being a great gift, even if you don't have a career from it. Because that's something that I think our society gets really hung up on, that you have to do something for a result. Mm-hmm. You have to do this to check it off, to get into college, to get a job, to make money. No, sometimes you do something just to grow, just to experience, just to be a part of a community.
I love that.
So that is our Marcus and Marisol segment. Yay!
That was so good.
That was our first one. And then we have to move very quickly into our interview.
Okay, so we have rock star Beatle, varsity fashionista, two-time Infinity legend, silver world medalist, Ms. Kennedy Thames.
Okay, so there's parents out there who are like, huh? So let me explain as the cheer mom on this podcast. Kennedy Thames would be like the Kardashian level popularity of competitive cheerleading. Would that be an honest?
I would absolutely say so.
Yeah, and this is a positive. I know that some parents are like, huh?
In the nicest way possible.
She has a huge social media following. Her dog has a huge social media following. And I thought I would introduce her with telling the story of how she is tied into Cheer Bomb. She doesn't even know this herself. So Lola, my daughter, who is the only reason I'm involved in competitive cheerleading, is, I would say, in her top, I mean, Kennedy Thames is, she has been a fan of hers since I even knew that you could be a fan of a cheerleader. I didn't know that was a thing. And last year at some competition, I can't remember which one, she was chasing down to see the Beatles perform.
Okay.
I was with my daughter, my other daughter as well, who's not a cheerleader. And we split we were at different stages. Lola, poor thing, got the wrong stage, and my daughter Heather and I ended up at the Beatles stage. And you could just sense it. The whole energy in the auditorium was different than any competition I'd been on. And I didn't know. I'm like completely oblivious. Like, oh, wow, they're good. but it was awesome. We saw an awesome performance. I felt bad because Lola didn't get to see them. Lola and her friend Ainsley didn't get to see the Beatles. But the name stuck with me because I was like, wow, she's a fan. This is my daughter's role model.
This is a big deal.
I should probably figure out who she is.
Maybe.
And that's when I learned that Kennedy was a flyer. She was on the Beatles and so on and so on. It was all great. And we start talking, you and I start talking about this company, Cheerbomb. Mm-hmm. And so my background's in marketing, podcasting and marketing. And when I was explaining this podcast to, all the marketing people, I kept having to try to explain, you don't understand, because they have no cheerleading background. So I'm like, you don't understand. In the world of cheerleading, the Instagram of cheerleading is completely different than mainstream Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's a complete niche. It's different. And I would use Kennedy Themes as an example. I'd pull up her account, be like, look at this. And everyone's like, what? Whoa. And it kind of validated my theory that this was a unique market. So I would always be using her name. So then you and I, we're not app developers
at all.
So when we have been working on these emoji stickers for the girls, it's been, what would you say? I don't want to say hard, but there have been moments.
It's been
of
a
challenge.
Process.
It's been a process. Not knowing how to build an app is a process, and working with body movements and digital applications mm-hmm. is challenging. So it was a learning curve, and there was one day. And I think I told you, Marcus, the story. We got some bad news from one of the developers. It just wasn't working. It wasn't a good day.
Taking so much time.
The technology, the cost of it. And I was sad. I was beyond sad. I was like, I was just like, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. I've given up, my consulting gig. I gave up my podcast. And I'm giving it all for this. And I'm not sure if this is the right path.
Mm-hmm.
I kid you not, 20 seconds later, check my Instagram, our Instagram, the Cheerbomb one. She's in our DM. Kennedy Thames. And I have the quote. What I wrote the quote. She's like, I've been waiting for an app like that. I can post something on my story. !! My freaking head exploded. And I'm not like a fangirl, Like if someone stuck a gun to my head and said, point out Kennedy Thames in a crowd, I might die.
I wouldn't.
Not after today. But I was so excited because I felt validated. And I was so grateful for her. Because it was like, that was my theory. My theory was like, why aren't there emoji stickers for this huge volume of, cheerleaders? And when she wrote that, I was just grateful. I was so freaking grateful. And,
it was a very exciting moment.
I sent it to you, sent it to the marketing group. I'm like, and they were the ones that came back and like, hey, her dog has like 5,000 followers.
More than my personal Instagram.
So that being said, I am so utterly thankful. I am so utterly grateful to our first guest on the podcast. Welcome, Kennedy Thames.
Welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So you're just out of school right now.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my. Well, obviously, we've already thanked you several times for several different reasons. But when we announced that you were coming on the podcast, we started getting DMs.
and you have no idea.
And instant messages.
We want you to know how much people respect you and really look up to who you are, the performer you are, when you are on that competition floor.
I know that really means so much to me. I couldn't ask for better supporters.
So we have some questions from your fans. Okay. So Marcus is going to yield those for you.
Okay. So what are the best words of encouragement that you've gotten from your bases or back spots?
Just to be confident. I feel like a lot of flying is your confidence level. If you're not confident, then your bases and your back spots don't feel confident to keep you in the air. And something could go wrong, like you could bend your leg. But I feel like they always tell me to be confident and just do my best. Because, I mean, if we can hit the stunt, then that is our best. And so if I just stay confident, then they know it's going to hit.
That is so awesome. Okay. And what does it feel like to be, like, the center flyer? I want to know, like, your feeling when your coach was like, Kennedy, we want you here.
It's really indescribable. I really didn't expect it because, like, people had been at the gym longer than me and stuff, and a lot of people say that seniority is, like, a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so it meant a lot to me whenever my coach came to me and said he wanted me to be center flyer. Like, I knew that I was taking on a huge role because the past center flyers at Beatles have been so amazing, so I knew I had huge shoes to fill. So not – I mean, I was nervous, of course. I was freaking out that I had all of these expectations to meet. But it really did mean a lot to me, and it made me feel great that I had worked so hard to be at this point and that they believed in myself. They believed in me to be center flyer. It meant a lot.
Yeah, you had to believe in yourself.
Absolutely.
To be thrown up. I watched some of your YouTube videos. And what you do is amazing.
And like, thank you. You are, oh my, like, I literally cannot take my eyes off of you. You're just gorgeous up there. And
oh, thank you.
I love it. Okay, so you are going through an injury. What is the most important thing you've learned about yourself going through your ACL injury?
Oh, gosh. This has been just a whirlwind of emotions. I have had so many ups and downs with this injury. But overall, I've learned that I just have to push through. Like, right whenever I tore my ACL, all my doctors were like, we don't think this is going to be a good idea. And, like, all my friends and family were like, you don't want to get hurt worse. And then I remember walking into my first day of physical therapy, and I couldn't walk. I was still on crutches. I couldn't put weight at all in that leg. And I remember talking to him, and he was just acting like, oh, like, you definitely need to get surgery right now. And I was like, I'm definitely going to cheer. Like, this is going to happen. I'm cheering this year. And he was like, okay, well, there's a 50-50 chance that you won't be able to. And so I was determined to prove everyone wrong. Everyone that said that I can't do it, I was like, nope, all of y'all are going to be proven wrong. I'm going to do this. Like, y'all are going to all regret what you said to me.
Defy those odds. You go, girl.
Oh, yeah.
How old are you, Kennedy?
I'm 17.
Because that's a huge thing to happen to anyone, but in your life with everything you have going on, that's a huge the nicest way I can frame it is an opportunity for growth. Like, to be injured when your body is your tool is...
Oh, yeah, for sure. I thought my world was, like, completely over because tumbling had been my life for so long before I even flew a lot, because I didn't really start flying a whole lot until I went to Rockstar. So before that, I tumbled. Like, tumbling was my thing. And so to not be able to tumble anymore completely crushed me. And so I knew going into this that I wouldn't be able to tumble for a long time. I won't be able to tumble until probably around next February.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But it was just a risk that I had to take because I love Beatles so much. And I knew this was probably going to be my last year. And I really just didn't want to give up my senior season. Mm-hmm. And I know that a bunch of people will say that it was dumb or that it's too risky. But honestly, I tore my ACL about 7 months ago. And I have worked so, so, so hard. I'm in the gym, like the workout gym, every day. I'm at physical therapy every day, like lifting weights and doing everything I can to make that leg stronger.
That's awesome. I'm so proud of you. I hope the girls and boys, I get dinged on that all the time, listening, get out of that, your amazing work ethic and discipline. Cause that's coming back from an injury is no small feat.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So Kennedy, take a second, close your eyes and try to remember the worst moment in cheerleading, which it might be your injury or not. But the worst moment, just the worst, like despair, hurt, pain, suffering. And think about that for a second. And if you could go back in time and give that Kennedy advice, what would it be? Like, can you talk us through that?
Okay, so obviously my injury is my, like, my number one worst thing that's ever happened to me. But other than that, about, I think it was 3 years ago at NCA, I was competing in Arabian through the whip double. And I was going for my pass, you know, in that huge arena that's so intimidating. Did Arabian to my face. And then I stood back up and did a two to double again to my face. And so I was beyond embarrassed. Like, I didn't even know what to think. Like, I had no idea. And honestly, I remember this was my first year at Rockstar. So this was a huge deal for me. I was beyond embarrassed. But I remember Angel Rice, I always looked up to her as a tumbler. And I remember that day she touched out of her pass too. And I was like everyone makes mistakes. Like, that's that is the one thing, that everyone is going to make mistakes. Not everyone is always perfect. So if I could go back and give myself advice right after that happened, I would say it's okay. Everyone makes mistakes. Everything happens for a reason. Like, everyone makes mistakes. You're not going to be perfect all the time. And you just shouldn't really stress about it. Just fix it. Don't let it happen again.
That's fantastic advice. And I'll tell you what, I'm 44 years old. That's advice that anyone can use. Anyone. No one's perfect. And anyone that pretends to be, it's exhausting. But that leads perfectly into my next question. So, you know, in that intro, I was telling you how much my daughter and her buddy watch your videos, know your song. Like, that's when I realized that cheerleading, competitive cheerleading, had its own celebrity when they were singing cheer songs of teams in other states. I was like, really? So when I described you as Kardashian famous in this world, what is it like for you? What's a day in competition for Kennedy Thames? And I also would like to ask you to talk to the good, the bad, and the ugly of this whole social media following, because I know, well, you know, one of our goals or intentions with our product is content, is to break up the content, because there's such a wide range of age for cheerleaders, from little biddies to the older girls. And, you know, you notice this trend of a lot of cheerleaders and also just regular teenagers chasing the likes, chasing the followers, chasing I don't know if fame is the right word, but level of
popularity.
And I know personally, I've learned those things aren't real. Like, it's great and it's wonderful and it feels good, but I don't get my value of a person from my popularity. I'm nowhere near as popular as you. So I was wondering if you could talk to that and talk to the cheerleaders about the good and the bad, you know, of this fame.
Right. Well, first of all, tell your daughter I said hello.
Oh, I'm going to DM you her. I'm going to DM you her Instagram and her buddy's Instagram. If you could send them a shout out, you would literally make me the coolest mom.
Oh, yeah, I will, for sure. Okay, so obviously it definitely has the positives and the negatives. And I mean, I love having all the supporters. Like, they're amazing. That is the most positive that I could ever ask for. It makes me feel great. Like, I try to respond to everyone that may post a picture of me or DM me, because I want them to know, like, how thankful I am for them, and that what they say, like, really does mean a lot to me. I don't want them to think that I don't see what they say or that it just means nothing to me, because it does. I worked hard, and I know that they work hard, and I want them to know that they're part of the reason why I work so hard. So that's definitely a positive, but there are a bunch of negatives. There's a lot of negativity, especially with my injury. Like, a lot of people say that it's a stupid decision and stuff like that. And then,
wait. So you have people out there offering their opinion on your injury?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there are some very opinionated people, but I really just, I mean, you can't make everyone happy. And at the end of the day, you have to make yourself happy. And this is what's making me happy. And I if I could take it back, I would have done the same thing. So I'm just kind of ignoring it. And that's what I always do. I just tend to ignore all the negativity because I know that there's going to be haters and there's going to be supporters. So I'm just super thankful for all of the supporters I have.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the haters that push me to be better too.
Ah, I love that. I love that. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm geeking out on this, but take me through like a competition. Do girls like run up to you asking for autographs, or are they like, do they hush together and like, oh, that's Kennedy Thames? Like what, the first time you noticed that there was, that you were being looked at as something,
as the
Kennedy Thames, what was that like?
Well, it was kind of like a slow progression, I feel like, just especially like the local competitions around here where I've been to so many gyms to do clinics or I've cheered at their gyms or something. So a lot of people know me and like I know a lot of like I just know them personally. Mm-hmm. And so they get their friends involved. And so I really try to talk to everyone. Yes, it can be very overwhelming having a bunch of people come up to you and stuff. But if I have time, I try to talk to everyone too. Like, it's not just about like taking the pictures or signing the autographs. I want to get to know them too. I don't want them to just look at, I want to be like a person to them, like a person that they can come to or like look at as a role model, just more than just cheerleading.
Well, we are so freaking excited that you're our first, like we have some other guests who I'm equally excited to have. I don't want to insult them, but because I feel the special connection to Kennedy Thames, I really wanted you to be the first. Like, I held back production hoping that you would be our first. And I think you are a great role model to to these. I mean, there's 3 million competitive cheerleaders in between the United States and Canada. And, you know, you can go international as well. And I think we have all of us have such an opportunity to mold these young kids. And I think the examples you gave today in this interview with your injury, how you handle your popularity are excellent examples. I hope, you know that we're grateful and I really look forward to meeting you. And if there's ever anything I can do for you, please know I will always be in debt to you.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to hand you over to Mr. Marcus, who's going to ask you some rapid-fire questions. It's a way we're going to end this segment. So hold on 1 second.
Okay, Marisol, you got my timer?
No. I'm kind of nervous. That kind of makes me nervous.
Oh, no. Nothing you should be nervous about. Just, I want to hear the first thing that pops in your head.
Okay.
Okay. And timer on. And what's your favorite movie?
Maze Runner.
Favorite color?
Blue.
Favorite tumbling pass?
Definitely not Two to Whip Doubles. probably Arabians or Whips. I like them both.
Oh, nice. Hobby outside of cheerleading?
Shopping.
Absolutely. Favorite place to just sit quietly and just like chill?
Starbucks.
Nice. role model?
My mom.
Hollywood crush? Ooh.
Ooh, Shawn Mendes.
Oh, y'all. Okay. Favorite food?
Chicken.
Nice. Okay. That was awesome.
Thank you so much, Kennedy.
Yeah, thank you guys.
And that was our interview with Kennedy Thames. I hope you guys enjoyed it half as much as Marcus and I did.
We had so much fun. She is so nice. She's such a sweet girl.
She's so sweet. And we wish her the best this weekend. And to all of you. There's so many major competitions happening this weekend.
Yeah, big one is majors in Indianapolis.
Really? Wow. I know the high school, which I know is not competitive cheerleading, but I know they have a big one too. All the cheerleaders out there, we wish you the best of luck. You got this. You're strong. You're powerful and you're disciplined. You got this. We really quickly want to thank our January Cheer Bomb Challenge participants.
We got some awesome stories and some awesome feedback from all of our contestants. So thank you and congratulations.
And we are ready to announce, if you haven't seen our Instagram yesterday, our winner is
Anisha from Cheer Eclipse in Kansas.
Woohoo! Congratulations, Anisha. You win an exclusive Cheer Bomb bow, a shirt that you cannot buy, can only be given, and
takeover from our Snapchat and Instagram, and Cheer Bomb calendar model.
Yep, you get a photo shoot, and you will be our January model in the 2019 Cheer Bomb calendar.
So congratulations, Anisha. Woo-hoo-hoo. So, with that being said, we would like to introduce our February challenge. Love. Hashtag love cheer bomb.
Hashtag love cheer bomb is the hashtag we will be using for the month of February. Tag us. There are so many opportunities to spread love around. It's not just to partners, it's also to your teammates, it's your coaches, it's that team mom, it's the lady at the front desk, it's
your dog that understands when you're upset and just wants to come and cuddle with you.
It is your teacher that gave you a break because you knew you had a big competition. Whatever it is, whatever it is, there are always opportunities to spread a little love. So take a picture, hashtag us on Instagram, love cheer bomb for February. You have till February 20th.
February 20th.
To enter the challenge. Our emoji / stickers app, look for it. It should be out soon. Cross your fingers, cross your toes.
Be on the lookout. We're so excited.
We are so excited. And if you like our podcast, it would be great if you downloaded an emoji.
Yes.
And also follow.
As cheerleaders have been waiting for them for a minute, so.
And we tried to serve them up as quickly as possible.
You know.
Look for us on Instagram. Follow us at Official Cheer Bomb. And on Facebook, moms, we're trying. And dads. But mostly moms. We're trying to be more interactive on Facebook. So please like and share. Also, review and subscribe to the podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. We are leaving you this week with a quote from Maya Angelou. When you know better, do better.
Thanks for listening.
This is Sean, the producer guy. We hope you enjoyed our premiere episode. And if you are interested in sponsoring this podcast or being part of it, contact Marisol and Marcus at officialcheerbomb@gmail.com.
It's always been controversial, but now pot and derivatives of it are so common. All this week, News 4 is showing you the high stakes of weed and what's next for the drug. Tonight at 5, driving under the influence of marijuana, the News 4 I-team hits the streets with cops.
We have marijuana seizures, I feel like, almost on a daily basis.
Uncovering a startling number of drivers on drugs.
Does it at all impact how you perform behind the wheel?
I don't think it does.
And what's being done to keep everyone safe? Tonight on News 4 at 5.
Hurry into Old Navy. One day only, today. Get 50% off all sweaters for the family, including all cozy crew necks and fabulous Fair Isles. Hurry, it's just one day only, today, at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Hurry, ends tonight. Valid 2/18, excludes in-store clearance.